Hymn to Intellectual Beauty, composed probably in Switzerland in the summer of 1816 and published in Hunt's Examiner, January 19, 1817, and with Rosalind and Helen in 1819. The awful shadow of some unseen power floats though unseen among us, visiting this various world with an inconsistent wing as summer winds that creep from flower to flower. Like moonbeams that behind some piny mountain shower. It visits with inconstant glance each human heart and countenance, like hues and harmonies of evenings, like clouds and starlit widely spread, like memory of music fled, like aught that for its grace may be dear, and yet dearer for its mystery. Spirit of beauty that dost consecrate, with thine own hues all thou dost shine upon, of human thought or form, where art thou gone? Why dost thou pass away and leave our state, this dim vast vale of tears vacant and desolate? Ask why the sunlight not for ever weaves rainbows o'er yon mountain river, why aught should fail and fade that once is shone, why fear and dream and death and birth cast on the daylight of this earth such gloom, why man has such a scope for love and hate, despondency and hope. No voice from some sublimer world hath ever to sage or poet these responses given. Therefore the names of demon, ghost, and heaven remain the records of their vain endeavour. Frail spells, whose uttered charms might not avail to sever, from all we hear and all we see, doubt, chance, and mutability, thy light alone, like mists o'er mountains driven, or music by the night wind sent through strings of some still instrument, or moonlight on a midnight stream, gives grace and truth to life's unquiet dream. Love, hope, and self-esteem like clouds depart and come for some uncertain moments lent. Man were immortal and omnipotent. Didst thou, unknown and artful as thou art, keep with thy glorious train firm state within his heart. Thou messenger of sympathies that wax and wane in lover's eyes. Thou that to human thought art nourishment, like darkness to a dying flame, depart not as the shadow came, depart not lest the grave should be like life and fear a dark reality. While yet a boy I sought for ghosts and sped through many a listening chamber, cave and ruin, and starlight wood, with fear and steps pursuing hopes of high talk with the departed dead. I called on poisonous names with which our youth is fed. I was not heard, I saw them not, when musing deeply on the lot of life and that sweet time when winds are wooing all vital things that wake to bring news of birds and blossoming. Sudden thy shadow fell on me. I shrieked and clasped my hands in ecstasy. I vowed that I would dedicate my powers to thee and thine. Have I not kept the vow? With beating heart and streaming eyes, even now I call the phantoms of a thousand hours, each from his voiceless grave they have envisioned bowers of studious zeal or love's delight. Outwatched with me the envious night, they know that never joy illumed my brow, unlinked with hope that thou wouldst free this world from its dark slavery, that thou, O awful loveliness, wouldst give whate'er those words cannot express. The day becomes more solemn and serene when noon is past. There is a harmony in autumn and a lustre in its sky, which though the summer is not heard or seen, as if it could be, as if it had not been. Thus let thy power, which, like the truth of nature on my passive youth, descended to my outward life supply its calm to one who worships thee, and every form containing thee, whom spirit fair thy spells did bind, to fear himself and love all humankind. Mont Blanc, Lines Written in the Vale of Chamouni, composed in Switzerland, July 1816, printed at the end of the History of a 6 Weeks Tour, published by Shelley in 1817, and reprinted with posthumous poems, 1824. The everlasting universe of things flows through the mind and rolls its rapid waves, now dark, now glimmering, now reflecting gloom, now lending splendor where from secret springs the source of human thought its tribute brings. Of waters with a sound but half its own, such as a feeble brook will oft assume, in the wild woods amongst the mountains lone, where waterfalls around it leap for ever, where woods and winds contend, and a vast river over its rocks ceaselessly bursts and raves. Thus thou, ravine of Arve, dark deep ravine, thou many-coloured, many-voiced vale, over whose pines and crags and caverns sail fast cloud shadows and sunbeams, awful scene, where power in likeness of the Arve comes down, from the ice gulfs that gird his secret throne, bursting through these dark mountains like the flame of lightning through the tempest, thou dost lie, thy giant brood of pines around thee clinging, children of elder time in whose devotion the chainless winds still come and ever came to drink their odours and their mighty swinging, to hear an old and solemn harmony. Thine earthy rainbows stretched across the sweep of the ethereal waterfall, whose veil robes some unsculptured image, the strange sleep which, when the voices of the desert fail, wraps all in its own deep eternity. Thy caverns echoing to the Arve's commotion, a loud lone sound no other sound can tame, thou art pervaded with that ceaseless motion, thou art the path of that unresting sound, dizzy ravine! And when I gaze on thee, I seem as in a trance sublime and strange to muse on mine own separate fantasy, my own, my human mind, which passively now renders and receives fast influencings, holding an unremitting interchange with the clear universe of things around. One legion of wild thoughts, whose wandering wings now float above the darkness, and now rest, where that or thou art no unbidden guest, in the still cave of the witch Posy, seeking among the shadows that pass by, ghosts of all things that are, some shade of thee, some phantom, some faint image, till the breast from which they fled recalls them, thou art there. Some say that gleams of a remoter world visit the soul in sleep, that death is slumber, and it shapes the busy thoughts outnumber of those who wake and live. I look on high. Has some unknown omnipotence unfurled the veil of life and death? Or do I lie in dream, and dust the mightier world of sleep spread far around and inaccessibly its circles? For the very spirit fails, driven like a homeless cloud from steep to steep that vanishes among the viewless gales. Far, far above, piercing the infinite sky, Mont Blanc appears, still snowy and serene, its subject mountains, their unearthly forms pile around us ice and rock, broad veils between of frozen floods, unfathomable deeps, blue as the overhanging heaven that spread and winged among the accumulated steeps, a desert peopled by the storms alone, save when the eagle brings some hunter's bone, and the wolf tracts her there, how hideously its shapes are heaped around, rude, bare and high, ghastly and scarred and riven. Is this the scene where the old earthquake demon taught her young ruin? Were these their toys, or did a sea of fire envelope once this silent snow? None can reply. All seems eternal now. The wilderness has a mysterious tongue, which teaches awful doubt or faith so mild, so solemn, so serene, that man may be, but for such faith, with nature reconciled. Thou hast a voice, great mountain, to repeal large codes of fraud and woe, not understood by all, but which the wise and great and good interpret, or make felt, or deeply feel. The fields, the lakes, the forests and the streams, ocean and all the living things that dwell, within the daedal earth, lightning and rain, earthquake and fiery flood and hurricane, the torpor of the year, when feeble dreams visit the hidden buds, or dreamless sleep holds every future leaf and flower, the bound with which from that detested trace they leap, the works and ways of man, their death and birth, and that of him, and all that his may be, all things that move and breathe with toil and sound are born and die, revolve, subside and swell, power dwells apart in its tranquillity, remote, serene and inaccessible, and this the naked countenance of earth, on which I gaze. Even these primeval mountains teach the averting mind. Their glaciers creep like snakes that watch their prey from their far fountains slow rolling on. There many a precipice, frost and sun, in scorn of mortal power, have piled dome, pyramid and pinnacle. A city of death distinct with many a tower and wall impregnable of beaming ice. Yet not a city, but a flood of ruin is there, that from the boundaries of the sky rolls its perpetual stream. Vast pines are strewing its destined path, or in the mangled soil, branchless and shattered stand, the rocks drawn down from yon remotest waste have overthrown the limits of the dead and living world, never to be reclaimed. The dwelling place of insects, beasts and birds becomes its spoil, their food and their retreat forever gone. So much of life and joy is lost. The race of man flies far in dread, his work and dwelling vanish like smoke before the tempest stream, and their place is not known. Below, vast caves shine in the rushing torrent's restless gleam, which from those secret chasms in tumult welling meet in the vale and one majestic river. The breath and blood of distant lands forever rolls its loud waters to the ocean waves, breathes its swift vapours to the circling air. Mont Blanc yet gleams on high. The power is there, the still and solemn power of many sights, and many sounds, and much of life and death in the calm darkness of the moonless nights. In the lone glare of day the snows descend upon that mountain, none beholds them there, nor when the flakes burn in the sinking sun, or the starbeams dart through them. Winds contend silently there, and heap the snow with breath, rapid and strong, but silently. Its home, the voiceless lightning, in these solitudes, keeps innocently, and like vapour broods o'er the snow, the secret strength of things which governs thought, and to infinite dome of heaven, is a law inhabits thee. And what were thou, and earth, and stars, and sea, if to the human mind's imaginings, silence and solitude were vacancy. A Cancelled Passage from Mont Blanc, published by Garnett in Relics of Shelley, 1862. There is a voice not understood by all, sent from these desert caves. It is the roar of the rent ice cliffs which the sunbeams call, plunging into the vale. It is the blast descending on the pines, the torrents pour. Fragment, Home, published by Garnett in Relics of Shelley, 1862. Dear home, thou scene of earliest hopes and joys, the least of which wronged memory ever makes bitterer than all thine unremembered tears. Fragment of a Ghost Story, published by Garnett in Relics of Shelley, 1862. A shovel of his ashes took from the hearth's obscurest nook, muttering mysteries as she went. Helen and Henry knew that Granny was as much afraid of ghosts as any, and so they followed hard. But Helen clung to her brother's arm, and her own spasms made her shake.